Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Acts of the Apostles, a Bible study with Pastor Arno Bessel.
The apostles Peter and John had been taken to court, questioned and released with a strong recommendation not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus, the risen Lord. What happened next? The book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 22 to 31 tells us. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. As soon as Peter and John were released, they went back to their own people and reported what happened. Probably they went to the same room where the apostles had met before and where the congregation may have continued to meet. The church is more close-knit than any family, and what affects one member affects all. So the two apostles reported to the community of believers all that the chief priests and elders had said to them, forbidding them to preach and teach. Neither the apostles nor the people went out to the streets in protest against the authorities. Instead, they made use of a divine and powerful tool. They lifted their voices together to God in prayer. This attitude of prayer, and the prayer itself, is an encouragement and a model for us. In times of tribulation, we can go to God in prayer and place all our needs and concerns before Him. The believers addressed God in prayer, calling Him Sovereign Lord. That's what God indeed is. He is the Master who in fatherly love and with absolute power rules the world. The believers acknowledge the Sovereign Lord as the Almighty Creator of the universe. If He was able to create everything out of nothing, then He was also capable to intervene in the dangerous condition the early church found herself in. The believers referred back to the Old Testament and acknowledged that God had spoken by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of His servant David. For them, the Old Testament was truly God's inspired word. David was held in great honor as the greatest king of Israel and also as a prophet. David's intimate relationship with God prefigured the unique relationship of Jesus with God the Father. The believers quoted in their prayer from Psalm 2, verses 1 and 2. This text was used in the coronation liturgy of Davidic kings. In the ancient Near East, the coronation of a new king was often the occasion for the revolt of peoples and kings who had been subject to the crown. So when Jesus, the true king, came, authorities set themselves and the rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed, that is, the Christ. To rebel against the Lord's anointed means to rebel against God, who anointed him. In Christ, the Old Testament prophecy was fulfilled. Herod Antipas, Tetrarch of Galilee and Perea, along with Pontius Pilate, Roman procurator of Judea, joined forces with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel to conspire against God's holy servant, whom God anointed. Evil forces usually join to fight a common cause, which means that there is an ongoing war of the world and Satan against God and against Jesus Christ. Hatred against Christianity is ultimately loathing of Christ himself. The conspiracy of the authorities in the days of Jesus was allowed by God to happen. Not that God had compelled them to act as they did, but he willed to use them and their freely chosen acts to accomplish his saving purpose. God used those authorities and the conspiracy of those people to work salvation for humankind through Jesus. God directs events while allowing human choices all to achieve his saving plan. After addressing in prayer the Sovereign Lord and recollecting Old Testament prophecies and their fulfillment, follows the request of the believers. What do they ask in prayer? They ask that the Lord may consider the threats and grant to his servants to continue to speak his word with all boldness. They don't ask deliverance from danger, rather great boldness to speak. This is a supreme lesson for us when we pray. The believers also ask God may confirm the veracity of the gospel through signs and wonders performed through the name of Jesus. The signs and wonders put a stamp of authenticity on the message in a similar way it happened in Jesus' ministry. A little later, we can see signs and wonders being performed by the apostles. Did God answer the prayer of the believers? He did, as he always does. God answered the prayer in an extraordinary way and immediately. The place in which they were gathered together was shaken. Apart from that, the believers were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Their prayer was answered. They were enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak the word despite the warnings and threats of authorities. From this episode, we learn that mounting pressure drives the believers to prayer. They recite God's sure word and ask him for boldness and a demonstration of his presence. Let us remember to pray for boldness when faced with opposition or persecution. Let us rejoice that the Lord refashions us in his image by his word and spirit. It is always interesting to know what the life of the early Christians was like. The book of Acts in chapter 4 verses 32 to 37 gives us an idea. Now the full number of those who believed were one of heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Impressive. The believers were one of heart and soul. Complete accord was in place. And that extended to their attitude toward their possessions. There was church unity in every respect. There were neither bosses nor subjects, neither owners nor beggars. This is a preview and foretaste of the restoration of paradise-like conditions in heaven. God gives us prosperity and resources for our neighbor's benefit. The early Christians fully shared with one another, but not in the same way as the failed communist experiments of the 20th century. Here, there is no compulsion or involvement of the state. Only believers are affected, and only goods are shared, not their production. Meanwhile, with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. We notice again the centrality of the message, the resurrection of Jesus, the Lord over death, sin, devil, and world. Such preaching was the opposite of dull, distant reading from a manuscript in practice those days. A man called Joseph sets an inspiring example of generosity. He sold a field and gave the money toward church work. Joseph was a Levite. Although Levites owned no inherited land in Palestine, like the other tribes of Israel did, these regulations of non-ownership may not have applied to the Levites in other countries like Cyprus. So perhaps Joseph sold land he owned in Cyprus and brought the proceeds to the apostles. Or Joseph may have been married, and the land sold may have been from his wife's property. It is also possible that the prohibition against Levite ownership of land in Palestine was no longer observed. This Joseph was called or nicknamed by the apostles as Barnabas, son of encouragement. Later he became an important companion and co-worker of the Apostle Paul. The early Christians loved their Lord, and consequently they loved the church and gave money to support brothers and sisters in need and to maintain mission work. God gives us possessions so that we can share with those in need and bring offerings to sustain the preaching and teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Arno Bessel is pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. St. Peter's offers a friendly atmosphere and newcomers are always welcome.
Now we read chapter 5, verses 1 to 11 of the book of Acts. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young man rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, Tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, Yes, for so much. But Peter said to her, How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, The feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young man came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. We have just mentioned that the early believers had all in common, sold possessions and gave to those in need. Joseph, also known as Barnabas, sold a field he owned and offered the money toward church work. An inspiring example. Now follows an evil example and a drastic intervention of God. It concerns a couple, Ananias and Sapphira. The Hebrew name Ananias means "the Lord is gracious." The Aramaic name Sapphira stands for beautiful. They owned a piece of property. The couple agreed to sell it. They were not forced to sell it, neither to give all the proceeds to the apostles. They did it willingly and by mutual agreement. They could well have kept part of the proceeds to themselves and given the other part to the church. The problem was hypocrisy. The couple pretended to offer all the proceeds to give the impression to others how generous they were. Love of praise for pretended generosity and love for money led to the first recorded scandal in the life of the church. Their pious play-acting and deceit disrupted the marvelous unity of the church. When Ananias brought the offering, God revealed to the Apostle Peter what was wrong. The Apostle immediately took the lead and asked Ananias questions. There was no need of human investigation to find out the truth. "Satan filled your heart," Peter said. Satan was active, and many times he sows weeds among the good seed. He tempts and deceives by means of love of money and hypocrisy. Ananias did not only lie to man, but to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is fully God, equal to the Father and the Son. The power manifested in the apostolic ministry of the church, if abused, brings serious consequences. The love of riches of Ananias set him on the accursed path of Judas. God's intervention happened to be drastic and immediate. Ananias died instantly. Grievous sin threatened to extinguish spiritual life. Hence, God took action to eradicate evil by the root. Here, sin brings about bodily death also. The death of Ananias is a divine chastisement understood in light of the biblical witness to God's holiness. God cannot be mocked. In Old Testament times, similar interventions of God took place. The sudden death of Ananias caused great fear in all who witnessed the event. It cannot be any different. God's judgment inspires terror. Three hours after the death of Ananias took place, Sapphira came to the apostles unaware of what had happened to her husband. In a similar way, Peter had asked questions to Ananias, he questions Sapphira. He goes straight to the point. The woman lied as did her husband. The same sin is followed by the same divine judgment. If no horrible consequences had followed this act of sin, the results among the believers would have been serious when the deceit became known. Not only would dishonesty appear profitable, but the conclusion that the spirit could be deceived would follow. It was important to set the course properly at the outset in order to leave no doubt that God will not tolerate such hypocrisy and deceit. Ananias and Sapphira paid a high price for their hypocrisy, taking grace for granted and forgetting that we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Woe to those who disturb and deceive the church of the Lord. But the Lord graciously calls to repentance and faith. Scripture says, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, who loves us and grants the free gift of forgiveness. In spite of weakness and scandal, the love and power of God continued to shine in the early church. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. The early believers did not have church buildings of their own. One of the places they used to meet together was in Solomon's portico, a porch in the temple of Jerusalem along the inner side of the wall enclosing the outer court. The Lord did signs and wonders regularly among the people by the hands of the apostles. This season of miraculous deeds would not extend for too long. Apparently, it ceased or slowed down later. God confirmed his message preached by the apostles through signs and wonders. While signs and wonders took place, none of the rest dared to join the believers. The author of the book of Acts cannot mean that no one joined the Christian community, because it is made clear that many men and women were coming to Christ. What is meant is that because of the faith of Ananias and his wife, no pretenders or half-hearted followers risked identification with the believers. While the apostles were at work, many sick people were brought to them. Some wished at least Peter's shadow might fall on them. Peter appears as a leader among the apostles. People noticed it. Some may have believed that healing could come through Peter's very shadow. That was a mistaken assumption. Who operated the healing was God, using the apostles as his instruments. The news of the miraculous deeds spread quickly, and the crowds from the surrounding areas of Jerusalem flocked to the apostles, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were healed. This massive outpouring of God's love and power came with his serious appeal for repentance. God's power to change lives is still at work today. His greatest work always remains the forgiveness of sins earned by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. This forgiveness is freely offered by God and is received by the believer through faith. Apart from that, the Lord also cares for the well-being of our body, giving us access to medical treatment to cure diseases or to relieve pain. If He wills, the Lord can also perform miraculous deeds, healing us from illnesses.
The study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.